Hey guys, it's Thumper here with Comic Book FNG. Welcome to our first half-isode. I'm going to be doing these in between the main episodes. We just finished episode 1, and that was kind of going over the story arc of Avengers versus X-Men. I hope you guys have been able to pick it up. It's a fantastic story arc. And actually, I wanted to touch on that really quick. I noticed an error I had in my explanation. I was talking about the lack of mutants there were in the world. It was not caused by some kind of human-made virus or some action of some supervillain or anything like that. It was actually Scarlet Witch. I went back and did some reading, and I'd completely forgotten about that. Apparently, in a state of emotional duress, Scarlet Witch, she basically just said, "No more mutants," and that wiped out most of their population. It completely stopped the mutant gene from happening anymore. So, really, she showed a lot of her muscle there in the comic, and that's one of the reasons they fear her so much and they have so much hatred for her in the X-Men versus Avengers storyline, is because she basically wipes out their people. So, usually with the half-isodes, what I want to do is I want to do kind of a character highlight. And for this half-isode, we're going to do Thanos in anticipation for Infinity War. He's also known as the Mad Titan Thanos. I mean, he's got a few other nicknames, but mostly it's either Thanos or the Mad Titan. His original publication was in an Iron Man comic, number 55, in 1973. That's when he first showed up. He was created by Mike Friedrich and Jim Starlin, excuse me. And we'll jump a little bit into his biography here. He was born on Saturn's moon Titan. He's part of the race of people called the Eternals, which they've got this huge history, and it's a really complicated history between the Eternals and the Deviants and, you know, all that huff, and a lot of it actually takes place on Earth, but we'll get into that in a later episode. So he was a child born to Mentor and Sui San, two Eternals. He looks completely different than them, though. He carried what's called the Deviant's Gene, or the Deviant Syndrome, and that's why he's this huge purple dude and looks completely different from the other Eternals, who are actually very, very human-like in their look. And the Deviant gene is actually, it's the Eternals' form of the mutant gene that the humans have. So he's basically an Eternal mutant. And he did have a sibling as well. His name is Eros, or Star Fox. And when he was born, his mother tried to kill him, basically. So it's not helping his whole outlook on life. You know, right when you get born, your mom tries to kill you. Mainly because of his deformities and his difference from the Eternals race. The Eternals and the Deviants have been at war for millennia. During his school years, he was a pacifist, which is surprising if you know anything about Thanos. I mean, he's called the Mad Titan for a reason. He's extremely powerful and he's killed millions of people. And he was really kind of a shut-in. He would only play with his brother and pets. And that was in his early years. By adolescence, he became fascinated by nihilism and death. He started worshiping death, and eventually falls in love with the deity, or her physical embodiment, Mistress Death. And there's a side note. So Mistress Death appears to Thanos as a woman, and he falls in love with her. And the same thing happens to Deadpool. He falls in love with death as well. And actually, that's one of the only people that Deadpool shares any kind of real feeling for, other than his roommate prisoner. And pissed off, Thanos curses Deadpool with life so he can never actually meet death and be with her. So, yes, Deadpool's got the healing factor that's crazy, but he's also been cursed with life. So, if the universe were to end, Deadpool would actually continue on. There's literally nothing that can kill him because of this curse from Thanos. We'll jump back into Thanos here. Before, when he was younger, I mean, he's definitely still powerful. but he wasn't what he is in the comics till a little bit later. He augments his physical strength and powers mystically and artificially. I mean, he's got a genius level intellect, so he uses, you know, biometric enhancements and all that sorts to enhance himself physically and mentally. At one point, he tries to create a new life for himself. He starts a family, but once he gets visited again by Death, he murders his family to try and impress Death. And there's this whole thing, him going back to his love for Death. Actually, when he creates the Infinity Gauntlet, I believe it was when he creates the Infinity Gauntlet, he kills, like, half the universe. I mean, billions and trillions of people just to impress Death. Now, Adam Warlock goes back and he changes all that and basically just reverts all that reality. It's plot armor, comic book stuff. So he's really famous for his Infinity Gauntlet and the Infinity Stones, and he's been a really big villain for the Avengers. He shows up quite a bit with the Avengers. But throughout his comic history, it's hard to say he's only a villain, because from what I've seen, he's a villain. He's also been, I wouldn't say good at times, but there were times where he wasn't necessarily as evil. He's helped people before. He's helped, I believe he's helped the Avengers take down a couple of people. I mean, he's taken on Galactus, the Planet Eater, Annihilus. Well, he also allied with Annihilus as well. That's neither here nor there. We're getting deeper into it than we need to. So he is showing up in Infinity War. We know that. We've seen him in the Avengers. We saw him in the end credits. And we saw him in Guardians of the Galaxy. And then we saw him at the end of Age of Ultron, if I remember correctly. That's when we first saw the Infinity Gauntlet. You know, he opens that cool thing and he puts his hand in and he says, "Fine, I'll do it myself." He's being played by Josh Brolin, which I think is a great choice. Let's jump into his powers and abilities a little bit here. He's a mutant member of the race of Eternals. The Eternals possess abilities in general, so he's got, you know, externally he's got superhuman strength. His durability is up. He's got higher stamina. Through his augmentations and mysticism, he can absorb and project vast quantities of cosmic energy. He's got telekinesis, telepathy, matter manipulation. He's a pretty accomplished hand-to-hand combatant. It helps being a really big dude, too. He was trained in the art of war on Titan. He's battled Odin before and held his own. He's battled Galactus before and held his own. I mean, the guy's basically, he's a god. As I said before, he's a super genius. He knows pretty much everything in all fields of science and technology. That's basically his kind of stuff. He's built the transportation chair that we saw in, Guardians of the Galaxy, which can project force fields, time travel, teleportation. He can move through alternate universes, and it's kind of ridiculous how powerful this guy is. I'm really excited to see him in Age of Ultron, or not Age of Ultron, excuse me, in Infinity War, because he's going to be a fantastic villain for the Avengers. I mean, Ultron alone was tough enough for them, but the way we see him come together and the original ways we see him beat the enemies, I think Thanos is really the best way to not necessarily end the series. I think it's their Infinity War, I believe, is phase 3 of their cinematic universe, and he's definitely one of the biggest antagonists in the Avengers comics. So it's going to be great to see him on the screen. I already think Josh Brolin's a perfect choice. He did a great job in Guardians of the Galaxy. And that was the first real time we had any good screen time of Thanos. And I think it's going to be fantastic to finally see him in full force on the big screen. He's going to be in both Infinity War and Infinity War Part 2. And I think they're going to be releasing in the same kind of way that they did with the Deathly Hallows. You know, Part 1 came out, and then a year later we get Part 2. I think they're shooting them both at the same time, though. And in other news, I did link it on the Twitter, we are going to be seeing the Tinkerer in Spider-Man Homecoming, which is coming up here soon, and I'll probably do a character highlight on either Spider-Man or the Vulture, which I believe is the guy that Michael Keaton is playing in Spider-Man Homecoming. And then and they just recently dropped the new X-Men Gifted trailer, which is going to be the new TV series for X-Men. It's going to be on Fox. I think it's coming out this year, if I remember correctly. I will link the trailer in the Twitter, so if you haven't seen it yet, you can go check it out. They've also started a Star Trek TV show, which I believe is also Fox. I will link that trailer as well into the Twitter. So that's going to wrap up this half-isode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Like I said last time, if you want to contact me, you can get me at comicfng@gmail.com. That's comicfng@gmail.com. Or you can tweet me at comicfng. That's at comicfng on Twitter. And I will be linking those in the Twitter as well, so you can check out those trailers. I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast, and happy reading.